Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I want to thank my most recent guest, the Bonco Devil, John Nichols from The Nation. Thank you, John. And your opinions, they always matter here. This hour is for you, the callers, 844-967-2789. I've been asking a lot, and I'm not quite panic mode, let's just say, but I'm getting very troubled about the polling and about the engagement levels, especially on the right. And the fact that I feel like, and the polling would seem to suggest, that the right's ready to roll into the midterms. Could be a red wave. That's what they keep telling us. And we keep saying, well, you know, a year is like a lifetime in politics. It's less than a year now. We're getting to the point where it's getting on like 10 months to the midterm elections. And it's going to go really quick. Each and every day around here, they all go quick. It should be Thursday already. I think we mentioned that.
I thought it was Thursday. Thanks.
It's only Tuesday. Still Tuesday.
Breaking my heart every day.
Life moves pretty fast is all I'm saying. And, you know, as you watch the political cycles, we all get caught in the political ruts and we think this is the only trajectory we could possibly be on. Well, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court could overturn Roe v. Wade. That might be a game changer. You know, not that I'm rooting for the bad, but electorally speaking, that could be quite an inspiration to, let's say, the dim supportive. But I've taken some issue to the fact that we as a nation don't really hold Republicans accountable for January 6th. And it's not just been since January 6th. I mean, this is the issue of our lifetimes. This is how we help, or at least I try to do my little part to help preserve small d democracy. It was a coup d'etat. That's my opinion. Because I've seen lots of public reporting that it was a coup d'etat. But the American people, they're thinking to themselves, wasn't that big a deal. Tragic, you know, kind of like a weather emergency, but not, you know, anyone's to blame exactly for January 6th. And why would they think that way? And I've got an opinion piece. I'm sharing some of Amanda Marcotte's thoughts at thesalon.com. I'll share a little bit of her piece as well. Well, if it was a really big deal, I mean, coup d'etat, you hear these words, they're a big deal, right? And if they were actually doing a coup, well, there'd be some Republicans sitting in prison right now. And the fact that they're not makes it awfully hard to convince the American people that something really bad happened on January 6th. I want to jump into the body of this piece. The implicit and sometimes explicit support for the insurrection by Republicans is obvious to the politically aware. Not only does the Republican Party continue to cover up Donald Trump's role in inciting the riot, but the party nationwide is acting on Trump's demands to help him steal the 2024 election through voter suppression and election interference. Meanwhile, prominent Republican figures continue to promote political violence. While Trump is the strong favorite for the GOP nomination in 24, with an overtly insurrectionist campaign built around his big lie. So that's what's coming down the pike. More Trump. More Trump. The problem, according to the author, is that voters who are swinging hard to the GOP, and I don't know if you've seen the new polling, but it's been a 14-point swing, a diminishment in support for the Democratic Party and an increase in support for the Republican Party. And the cumulative swing's been 14 points this year, the first year of Biden's presidency. That's troubling because that could you know, portend a red wave. So anyways, back to the article. The problem is that voters who are swinging hard to the GOP know basically none of this. Instead, they assume that Republicans are a normal political party. There's lots of people to blame for this, of course. Biden and the Democrats didn't do themselves any favors by spending the past year talking up unity and bipartisanship instead of focusing like a laser on the fact that the GOP is actively conspiring with Trump to cover up for January 6th and perpetuate his war on democracy. The media also plays a role, not this fine media, exhibiting an unwillingness to challenge Republicans directly about their anti-democratic ideology. But ultimately, the biggest problem is is the utter lack of accountability for any of the prominent Republicans involved in January 6th. Neither Trump nor any Republican leader has been arrested for their efforts to steal the election that led up to the Capitol riot. So far, the only people who have been arrested for the Capitol insurrection have been the people who actually stormed the building or far-right militia types who coordinated their actions that day. So that ends up reinforcing the impression, especially with people who don't follow the news very closely, and she's clearly not talking to you fine people, that the riot was a result of a bunch of self-directed fringe characters and has nothing to do with the mainstream Republican Party, unless the cuffs start coming out for Trump and his fellow elite Republicans, it will be hard to convince these voters to see the insurrection as anything but an anomalous event instead of part of a larger anti-democratic effort. And they focus group this. Focus group data confirms this, as McClatchy reporter Alex Rotary explained last week in a tweet thread. Swing voters simply don't see January 6th as a big deal, and they talk about it as a tragedy, as if it was a weather event instead of what it was, a partisan political effort to overthrow an election. Participants in the focus groups repeatedly talked about the Capitol riots as if Democrats were exaggerating when they talk about the day or its implications. In one focus group, however, one participant linked the attack to the larger assault on democracy and crucially expressed concern that the people behind the attack weren't facing justice. After that, the tone of the group switched to genuine concern for democracy. Participants, Rotary explained, then expressed, and here's his quote, a desire to find the person responsible for the attack. Without that, however, connecting the attack to the GOP didn't make any sense to them. This comports with findings from other focus groups. One conducted by Axios found that swing voters think the jury is still out on who is to blame for the Capitol insurrection, though they repeatedly expressed interest in finding out through legal investigation. Another, held by the New York Times, found that even though Democratic voters took the Capitol insurrection seriously, they expressed frustration that those responsible for the events of January 6th had not been brought to justice. Yeah, check me in that category. Even some Republicans called the event scary. But again, as the only people being arrested for it are the small-timers, they can tell themselves a story about how it has nothing to do with the mainstream GQP. My insertion of the Q there, see what I did? The logic of the typical low-information voter isn't all that hard to parse. If Trump and other Republicans had actually tried to commit a coup, then why aren't they in jail for it? It's a serious crime, after all. The lack of arrest sends a strong signal that it must not be that important. Most people tend to consume a lot more law and order than they do investigative pieces by the Washington Post. They likely won't read the umpteenth investigative piece on this complex coup. They would, however, notice Trump and GOP members of Congress getting arrested. Oh, please let me notice that. And last week, there were some high-profile charges of Stuart Rhodes and other members of the Oath Keepers for seditious conspiracy for their part in the January 6th riot. As some commentators pointed out, that undermines efforts from Republican pundits to deny that the attack was an insurrection. However, it does little to dissuade swing voters from viewing the events of that day as driven by an otherwise powerless right-wing fringe. Rhodes has a past as a congressional staffer and a judicial clerk, but he deliberately dresses like a wild-eyed militiaman, helping reinforce the false narrative that he and his fellows have no real relationship to the mainstream Republican politics. Democrats can make speeches blaming Trump and other Republicans for the insurrection, but they can't make skeptical swing voters believe them. On the contrary, such voters tend to be the first to ascribe cynical and self-serving motives to political speech and see such sentiments as empty rhetoric if they aren't backed up by action. Pardon me. In political media, there tends to be a lot of hand-wringing concern about how charging GOP leadership that was involved in the coup with crimes could be read as political. For ordinary voters who pay little attention to politics, the opposite is true. The lack of charges reads as evidence that there's nothing to charge Trump and his coup conspirators with. They see political rhetoric blaming Republicans as therefore partisan hyperbole. Now, there's a lot more to this piece, but this is my concern, the lack of justice, especially in regards to the January 6th. We keep bringing it up. We keep trying to connect the dots for you, not because you're not smart people, but you're busy people. You got lives to lead. I have no life. This is what I do. I share my aimless life of reading Washington Post articles with you right here on the radio. And when we come back on the other side, you know, my otherwise worthless life will be made complete because we're going to take some of your phone calls at 844-967-2789. I want to see charges. I want to declare it Merrick Garland Day all across this nation. I will celebrate that day. Fancy Brian, we will do a jig. I will do a dance. I will streak the quad if necessary.
The only thing I've heard about Merrick Garland that gives me a little bit of hope is that in his past, when he's prosecuted people, it's never leaked at all whatsoever. So maybe it's just really a tight ship, huh? Huh?
Oh, yeah, it's a tight ship.
Huh?
Come back with us. We run a tight ship around here. Your phone calls could be next. 844-96-CALL-IT-A-PARTY.